For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Earthen Vessel, as we pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Isn't it stupid for man to glory in himself, to glory in the clay pot rather than in the contents? Norman Grubb, in his book, The Deep Things of God, makes the statement that man's highest capacity is that of being a vessel containing God. The fact that God will dwell in you. Man's highest capacity, a vessel that can contain the eternal God. I read the book. I was impressed by that statement. I thrilled at his exposition of that concept. But then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, no, he's wrong. That is not the highest capacity of man. There is one capacity that excels that, and that is the capacity of being a channel through which God will flow to a world around you. One thing to contain God, glorious, oh my yes. No underestimating of the glory of being able to contain God, but oh, one step further, when God through me pours forth his love to the world around me. And this glorious treasure that I have is shared with others. And that work of God's Spirit within my life flows out that others might benefit from that work of God in me. When the subjective work becomes objective, when it is no longer God's work in me, but now God's work through me, then I've reached my highest capacity. This earthen vessel, there's no value in the vessel at all. The value is in the contents being held by the vessel. And as I pour forth the contents, I must be careful that the contents do not taste of me. That I don't get a lot of my personality into the teaching, into the contents that come forth, but that I bring forth the contents in as pure a form as I possibly can. Have you ever had a plastic vessel in your refrigerator that is sometimes maybe you put an onion in it? And now you're keeping water in it. Every time you drink water, you get an onion taste. Yuck. When I drink water, I don't want to taste onions. Now, onions in their place are great, and I love them, but not in flavored drinking water. And when the vessel begins to give off a taste of itself, it's time to get rid of the vessel. God did that which was almost ludicrous, putting the most valuable treasure in a common vessel in order that man would not become enamored of the vessel, but would be enamored only of the contents, only of God and the work of God through the vessel, that the glory of the excellency might be of God and not of us. So as Paul declared, we preach not ourselves, but Christ. And that should be the theme of every minister. We preach not ourselves, but Christ. And we seek to draw men to Christ. And we seek to bring men the contents, the value, and the treasure in Jesus Christ, rather than bringing to them the old clay pot. The moment we start trying to bring them an old clay pot, you can be sure God's going to crack it, and you become a crack pot. And I've seen a few of those. They've got one on TV now. I mean, that pot's really cracked. We are troubled on every side. Now, Paul's talking about the ministry. Troubled on every side. God doesn't promise you immunity from trouble. In fact, he sort of promises you trouble. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Promises that I hate. There are promises I love. But then there are those I don't care for. I wish God had never promised me that. We are troubled on every side, yet we're not distressed. You see, as a servant of God, as a child of God, you can be facing and you will face a lot of trouble, but you should never be distressed. We are perplexed. And a lot of times we don't know what to do. A lot of times we're perplexed by the situations. We don't know what the solution or the answer is. But we don't despair. And there's a big difference between being perplexed and despairing. Despairing is when you throw up your hands and say, oh, I think it's the end. I don't know how we'll ever get out of this, you know. And you just give up. Now, we're perplexed. I don't know how God's going to work this thing out. This is interesting to see what God is going to do now. Man, I don't know where God can go at this point. I don't know what he can possibly do, but I'm sure excited on just waiting to see what he's going to do. You see, I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm not wringing my hands and saying, oh, friends, I'm sorry to tell you this, but, you know, this is the end. We're going off the air, and we're not going to be able to come back unless you send in your letters this week. And you that are listening on radio, that's all tongue-in-cheek. Jesus said, the poor you have with you always. We'll be back. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. The Lord stands by us in every trial. We are cast down, but we're not destroyed. So the things which we have, but the things which we don't have. Trouble, yes, but not distress. Perplexity, oh yes, but not despair. Persecution, oh yes, but never forsaken. Cast down, yes, but never destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Now, you remember at the beginning of the letter, Paul was apologizing to the Corinthians because he didn't come. And he said, it wasn't fickleness on my part, but he hinted to some real physical problems that he had had. He had gone through some heavy persecution where he actually figured it was the end. He didn't see any way out. He thought that this was it. And he despaired of life. He figured, well, you know, I'm never going to get out of this. And having gone through these severe persecutions, it probably had a physical effect upon him and left him extremely weak. And so he speaks about bearing about in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That suffering that he had experienced for the cause of Christ, the persecutions, the beatings, the stonings. Bearing in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, Death working in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. So that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to raise us up and present us to you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many may redound to the glory of God. So the suffering that Paul mentioned in the lesson last week, the afflictions, the sufferings, the persecutions, as Paul said, they are for your sakes, that I might comfort you with the comfort that I receive, that I may be able to comfort you in your sufferings, in your trials, in your testings. I experience these things for your sake. And so again, my sufferings, my weaknesses, they're for your sake. It is interesting to me that suffering brings out a depth of character that nothing else can produce within a person. G. Campbell Morgan spoke of a young man who came and ministered at his church, a very brilliant young man. And he said he went home after service and he was remarking to his wife concerning the brilliant message that was delivered that morning by the young man. And his wife said, he'll be better after he suffers. And G. Campbell Morgan commented, and this young man went through much suffering and he was better. Suffering does something in causing the roots to go deep. It develops character. It develops strength like nothing else I know. And Paul the Apostle here is speaking of how the suffering that he went through actually redounded to their glory. You have benefited. And no doubt this is true. The depth of character that was created in Paul as the result of his suffering, the church was able to benefit from that which he developed and received in his sufferings for Jesus Christ. He was able then to minister in such a much more effective way as the result of the sufferings that he experienced. Now, we are chickens when it comes to suffering. You'll remember when Jesus began to tell his disciples how that the Son of Man must suffer at the hands of men, that Peter immediately cried out, Lord, be that far from thee. Another translation more accurate is, Lord, spare yourself. Don't do it. That is the voice of the natural man that would cry, spare yourself. In fact, Jesus recognized it as the voice of Satan, and he said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you don't understand the things that are of God. Peter tells us, much to the chagrin of some of the modern day evangelists, that if any man suffers according to the will of God, that he should just commit his soul unto him who is faithful. Yes, you can suffer according to the will of God, and through that suffering, God can develop within you a depth of character that cannot be developed any other way. Some people from which I draw the most are those people who have had a lot of suffering in their lives, for I find in them an interesting depth that excels anything I've ever seen. and I can receive from them and I can draw from them because of the richness that has been developed through suffering. And so Paul looks at his own suffering as for the benefit of the people. That it was for your sake that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving might redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man is perishing. The old outward man, hey, he's been through it. Beaten, kicked, stoned, the whole bit. Our inward man is renewed day by day. We've been through an awful lot, but oh, the strength of character that it is built within. As the inward man, the old man on the outside, hey, he's going downhill fast. But the inward man being renewed day by day with the strength of the Lord. For our light affliction, and now notice the contrast here, and they're beautiful. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, that's not the way it appears. Whenever I am suffering, it seems like eternity. I mean, hours drag. You ever been really sick at night? And you ever realize how long a night is? You know, when you're feeling well and you're tired and you go to sleep, it's amazing how short a night is. Morning already? Oh, I can't believe it, you know. But if you're sick, night can spread on for almost eternity. You look at the clock, only 10 minutes since the last time I looked. I can't believe it. When's it going to be morning, you know? Suffering has a way of expanding time. But what if I suffered for 50 years? As far as God is concerned, it's just a moment if you compare it with eternity. Our light afflictions, which are but for a moment. For you see, what is life? It is but a vapor. It only appears a moment and then vanishes. If you suffer all your life, it is still but a moment in comparison with eternity. In fact, you can't even compare it to eternity. Because you have the finite and you have the infinite. And there's no grounds for comparison of the finite to the infinite. It isn't even as a drop of water in all of the oceans of the seas. Because you are comparing finite with finite. There is a certain number of drops in all of the oceans and all of the seas. But when you get to eternity, you've come to the infinite, and thus you cannot draw any comparisons that compare a finite with the infinite. So our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh an exceeding eternal weight of glory. The eternal weight of glory compared with this light affliction, which is but for a moment. Now, what we need to do is to get our eyes upon the eternal. Our problem is that we are looking so often at the temporal. We are looking at these afflictions. And we are getting so involved in the present material surroundings that I lose sight of the eternal. The light affliction is only for a moment. But God has an eternity planned for you. An eternity of glory that is indescribable. An eternity that so far exceeds anything that we could ever think or dream. In glory, in beauty, in wonder, in awe, in blessing, in joy, in love. God's eternal plan for you. This light affliction, it's just a moment, is going to pass. Life is going to pass so quickly. Don't live for now. Live forever. Don't do all of your planning for just right now. Get involved in the eternal. For Paul said, while we look not at the things which are seen, this old outward man that is perishing, these light afflictions, which Paul says light afflictions, but when he lists them, hey, I feel like the author of Hebrews, hey, you haven't yet resisted unto blood, you know, striving for Jesus Christ. Let me see your bruises. Let me see your scars. You know, where did they beat you? Read what Paul endured for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet he says, these light afflictions, in stripes above measure, that is, stripes laid on my back, frequently in prison, faced death many times. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. 3 times I was beaten with sticks. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. I spent a night and the day floating out in the ocean. I journeyed often. I was in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that come upon me daily, the care of all of the churches, the light affliction, which is but for a moment. But Paul's key, his secret, hey, we don't look at these things which we can see because they're only temporal. But we look at the things which are not seen, for they are eternal. What do you have your eyes on? The temporal passing things? Where do you place your values? In the temporal passing things, God help us that we might begin to look at the eternal and place our value in the eternal things. Looking unto Jesus, keeping our eyes on Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, who will bring us who trust in Him into that eternal glory.
Do you want to gain true wisdom from God? Wisdom for Today, a daily devotional designed to help you apply God's timeless wisdom to your life. In our world, knowledge is highly valued. You may know a lot about science, nature, or other subjects, but without the wisdom of God, something essential is missing. As Proverbs 9:10 reminds us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom begins when we reverence God above all else and seek Him through His Word. Join Pastor Chuck Smith on a journey through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation in 365 daily readings, each with scripture and practical application. Discover how God's Word offers guidance and insight that can be applied to every part of your life. To order your copy of Wisdom for Today, for you or for a friend, visit TWFT.com or call 800-272-9673. The Word for Today, helping God's wisdom come alive in your life every day.
May the Lord be with you and bless and keep you in His love and draw you nearer unto Himself as He works in your heart by His Spirit. And may this week your eyes be kept upon Jesus, that God might by His Spirit bring to pass those changes in our lives whereby He will conform us into His image for His sake.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of 2 Corinthians on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673. Or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning 2 Corinthians 4. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.